ready to go whenever you are.
Okay, sweet. What's up, internet friends, and welcome to another episode of the PlayStation Plus Game Club. I'm your host, Kevin Garaventa, aka the Portland Kevin, and this is a show where we pick one game from the PlayStation Plus library and break it down for your entertainment, information, and amusement. This time we are talking about Raji, an Ancient Epic. This action game, developed by Nodding Head Games and released by Super.com in 2020, features a teenage circus performer who chases demons that have kidnapped her younger brother. There are important implications for what this game showcases for Hindu culture and how it handles representation. We'll touch on that, but mostly we are here to have fun and just talk about the game. And talking with me about it today is Gage Luke. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. We recently just became friends because you moved to the Portland area and we both have podcasts, and I wanted to, you know, just have us both trade places on podcasts and, you know, have some fun, talk about games. So it's great to have you here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's cool to have the internet friends become real friends over time, you know, and with shared interests alike. And it's good. We'll do some trading. We'll get you on NPD and whatever else, you know. It's good.
So yeah, go ahead and tell us a little bit about NPD.
Sure. So NPD is Neon Pocket Dimension. We describe ourselves as a small pocket-sized dimension in which all things nerdy exist in harmony. So we kind of split our channel up into more focused games content versus just kind of nerdy stuff in general. So Neon Pocket Dimension records on Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Pacific time. We stream live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Neon Pocket Dimension. But then it comes out as a YouTube video and podcast later in the week. So yeah, but we talk about different topics in nerddom, and we like to get guests who maybe are extra nerdy on that one topic. So, you know, we had someone who like is really into brewing beer and nerded out on making their own beer. We had people who are, you know, like actual professional movie reviewers who came on and reviewed some films and things like that. So it changes from week to week, but it's a fun show to do. And then we have Neon Gaming Dimension, which is like our kind of side, more focused on gaming channel, where we do stuff like, you know, reactions to trailers or discussion topic episodes, where it's like shorter, more focused topic discussions about like stuff in gaming. So it's good stuff.
Yeah. And I've listened to a few episodes. I was a big fan of the burrito episode that I think that was the first one I listened to. But yeah, ton of fun. I really enjoy your guys' stuff. So
yeah, we get pretty goofy and weird with it for sure. but you know, I might have to get you some knowledge from you. I got to find a good burrito spot up here. So we'll have to figure that out.
Well, I've already got a few suggestions keyed up. So don't worry about it. But yeah, and if you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more like it, please like and subscribe to the show wherever you're listening. It really helps us show up in more recommended feeds or algorithms. If you want to be part of an episode of the PlayStation Plus Game Club, you can send in an email at psplusgameclub@gmail.com or find our Discord channel to write and talk about it there. But for now, let's start talking about Raji, an Ancient Epic.
Oh, yeah.
As the demons turned to slaughter, Raji tried to reach her brother. He'd been hurt, and he was scared, and she knew she must protect him. But in that moment, Raji failed, for the Garasura demons took Golu from her.
Now, before we start talking about this, there is a lot of Hindu mythology and names of gods and places and people. If I mispronounce something that you know I'm mispronouncing, feel free to correct me on the spot. I am not afraid to just try and pronounce some of these names, but if I go about it all wrong, I am happy to be corrected.
So, I will not necessarily be of any help there. I will also try. There might be a few which I have some knowledge on, but mostly my wife will correct both of us after when she listens to this.
Good. Yeah. So this particular action game, when I watched the trailer for it and got kind of a vibe of it being very much like the old God of War games, like the ones released in 2004 and 2005. And those particular games, they were like having action figures and really like pull the action back to watch them like fight other monsters from a big distance. So you really get a sense of the spectacle of how big things are in those games. And with this game, I feel like they're going for the same kind of thing. Did you kind of get that vibe as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's actually kind of what first drew me to the game. I was like, oh, I haven't played something with that perspective in a long time. It's like not quite isometric, but it is like a third person thing, but it's pulled back. And then, you know, you have control over the camera sometimes. And so you're able to kind of look at these arenas that you're fighting in. And then other times it's a more like fixed, you know, kind of perspective. It wants you to look at a specific scene, a specific way. And this truly an action game, right? You know, it's not like a Souls-like or any, you know, like it's not a Devil May Cry per se, where yeah. It's like, you know, but it is very much like, you know, you have a kind of set number of abilities, a few different weapons, some ranged moves, but it does feel like more about like, yeah, seeing the whole scene and playing with action figures, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, you've got a set number of weapons that you can play around with. And every time you get a new one, you like, I immediately, you know, started wanting to try out all the different moves that particular weapon could do. So mm-hmm. just like in God of War, it's kind of like, oh, I got something new that I can play around with. This is going to feel completely different. And for the most part in this game, it really does, because you start out the game with just getting like a staff that you can fight with. And then you have this ranged weapon, and then you get a sword and shield later on. And mm-hmm. every time you get something new, it just kind of changed my play style every time I got something new. So it felt really cool to just go through and find something else to experiment with.
I do like too that they there's these little kind of like tutorial rooms that you, like as soon as you get a new weapon, it gives you kind of like a little practice on it, and it kind of shows you what it can do.
Yeah.
And then it kind of feeds in a few enemies for you that, you know, it feels natural. Like it's not necessarily like, okay, now here's the time for the tutorial. It's like, you just kind of get a weapon and you're able to kind of test it out in this like small progression room. And then obviously you're thrown back into the main flow of the game. So yeah, it was cool. And even the weapon you start with, the Trishul, which is kind of like a trident looking staff thing.
Yeah.
It's cool because it's long, and so there's like different kind of move sets that happen with it. And then the bow becomes kind of a staple throughout the game, just to be able to like distance control and mm-hmm. do some ranged weapon and stuff. But then it's cool. I definitely feel what you're saying as far as like the weapons actually having like a meaningful change in the way that you play the game.
Yeah and then like the game starts to teach you that you can do other things with those weapons that you didn't really know you could do them beforehand. Like if you're close to a wall, you're like, Raji is going to run up this wall and then like jump off of it, and you know, she's going to do either a light or a heavy attack depending on the button that you push, but like it's way up high in the air, and then it does like, you know, some really broken levels of damage that I found after a while. But
yeah, you know, you can also run up poles and then like land on people's heads, or there's like ground poundy type of mechanics. Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
So that's like, go ahead.
I was just gonna say like there's actually quite a few kind of combo things that I kind of realized, you know, at first I was a little hack and slashy, you know, for the beginning parts of the game, but it really does start to similar actually with those old God of War games, where if you kind of get in your flow state, you can get a lot of combos going, and they're pretty satisfying. I will say there are some elements. This is a pretty small development team who created this game, and there are some slightly clunky elements to combat, but for the most part, I think it's pretty frenetic and fun for sure.
Yeah, I do feel that as well. Like, you know, every once in a while when I was close to a pole and I wanted Raji to swing around it and like do that like circular swing motion with her sword, she wouldn't do it. But
yeah,
that's where kind of like the indie game cracks start to show in this, but I still had a fun time with it. So, you know, it feels like it is not at the scale of those first God of War games, but it's still going for that kind of thing. Like it was inspired by them. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And like, if you're going to take a swing at one of those style games, like, you know, they take some shortcuts with obviously the way the cinematics are done and things like that. But they do it in a cool way where it doesn't necessarily feel like a whole lot lesser than, you know, obviously those big God of War games had huge spectacle moments of like when you fight the big bosses and there's these big things like that. But for, you know, I think this is this team's first game. They might have done like some other little mobile project before this or something. But overall, like, it feels like a complete package of a game for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned the story presentation, and talking about that, most of the story is told through these very traditional puppet shows that you know, are done in like a two-dimensional, just like paper cutout puppets, and then it's narrated by either the two gods that are having a conversation while Raji is running around throughout the whole game, you know, Goddess Durga and Lord Vishnu. So, you know, that there are like different ways they convey this story, and you can kind of tell that like they ran out of a time and budget to really go for the full 3D cinematic stuff that they wanted to. But like, this still kind of gives you something very unique to watch
at the I didn't find them to be they're so stylized that it feels like it's intentional, and they're cool, you know. I mean, even though they're, you know, and it is this kind of like pulling on, I think it's like a typically like a Balinese style shadow puppetry thing, but I think it's also found in India and Pakistan and Bali and those places around there. So it's a cool use of, you know, harkening back to like some traditional style imagery or some like imagery that's inspired by more you know, local art forms, which is a cool way to do it. And then also the other way that you get some story stuff is you'll find these like pretty beautiful paintings in the world, and you'll be able to go up to them and kind of scan them, and you know, you'll get some commentary from Durga or Vishnu, which is cool. Those are also fun little things to find.
You know, going back to the puppet shows, there was like a couple of moments where I felt like I didn't feel like the story itself had as much of an impact as it could have if it was told in 3D, because of just like the weight of the moment that was happening. And I was thinking like, oh, I can just imagine how much more dire this would feel if this was happening in 3D rather than with the puppet show. And it didn't take me out of it as much as like the first Mirror's Edge game did. Like, I don't know if you ever played that, but
yeah,
you know, absolutely. It was like, the cutscenes were like, they looked like e-surance commercials that were coming out at the time. And it was so disconnected at the point where, like, at one point in the game, a character showed up and it wasn't a cutscene. It was just happening in the game engine. And I didn't recognize this guy. And I was am I supposed to know this guy? And he was somebody that you knew like two or three chapters ago, but you know, he was in a 2D cartoon at the time. So this time around with this game, it didn't feel like it was that disconnected.
Egregious.
But yeah, it was still just kind of like, oh, like I'll bet this would have been much more impactful if
totally. There's a specifically actually in, you know, at the very end in the final boss.
Yeah,
there's like a moment halfway through the boss where there's a cutscene, and you're like, man, if this was like happening with the actual boss and, you know, seeing the character that it's referencing, it's not nearly as effective. And it's kind of one of those things where you're like, oh man, this is kind of like your climax of the game. And I definitely understand what you're saying. It leaves a lot to be desired. That's so funny you bring up the Mirror's Edge ones. I love it's one of my favorite games of all time.
Oh, I love
And honestly, the whole game is so gorgeous, and there's these moments where you look around and you're like, how is this on Xbox 360? but then, yes, they very much just have these weird cartoon, super weird cutscenes.
Yeah.
That's funny. I hadn't thought about that in a while.
She awoke on the boat, and in the far distance, she could see a city. Great kings of the past had fashioned it and had given their lives for it. But now the inhabitants were enthralled to a vast, lurking shadow, stripped of their own will. Guardians blessed Raji for she was the only hope for these people.
So then we have that the story being told about Raji. She's chasing a bunch of demons who have kidnapped her brother Golu and are taking mm-hmm. him to some fortress. The story as it progresses takes you through these various environments that are actual mythical places in Hindu mythology. So
yep.
The ones that they take you through are the fortress of Jedhar, the city of Harinara, Nagari, and then finally the deserts of Tar. Or Thar. I'm not sure which one, which is correct, but
I don't think. Yeah, I think it's just Tar.
Yeah. So you go through these places, and there's also the Land of the Mystics. That one doesn't have a specific name, as far as I know. But there are these actual mythological places that they take you through, and it does feel like the game is teaching me, someone who doesn't know anything about Hindu mythology, a lot that I could know about it. So like how the old God of War games taught me a lot about the Greek gods, this game can teach people a lot about Hindu gods. So
yeah,
I thought that
I
was
think
pretty
as
cool.
Like, and I think as like Westerners, maybe we're a little more exposed to the Greek pan, you know, the whole group of Greek gods, you know, we're a little more familiar with it, whether it's from, you know, reading Homer in school, or, mm-hmm. you know, seeing movies like Troy, or, you know, whatever, just like stuff that we are, you know, a little more accustomed to in the West over here. But for the most part, unless you go seeking it out, it's, you know, you don't necessarily grow up learning about Vedic or Hindu mythology very much. But they are really, really cool stories. And I got into it a little bit in college when I took like a religious studies course. But other than that, yeah, it's like this stuff isn't always super accessible. So it's cool. And this legend, or this, you know, this mythology, kind of, there's a holiday called Navaratri in most of India, but in South India it's called Golu. Golu is the brother of Raji in this game. And so it's cool. We my wife, for a little bit of background, my wife is from India. She moved here when she was like 20, and she's from Southern India. And so, yeah, they celebrate Golu there. And so it was cool. That's what kind of initially drew me to this game, was like, oh, whoa, like there's a Hindu mythology game, you know? And so she was like, yeah, let's check it out. So we played it together, like kind of switching off for the first parts of the game.
Yeah.
And then we kind of got to a point in the combat where it was like a little bit too much for her once they had introduced all the different weapons and stuff like that. So she just watched me play the rest of the game at that point.
Yeah.
Which was fine, but she was able to get through the first first location. And then once we kind of got into the second area, she was just a little too much for her, but she was really stoked to see this portrayed. And you know, she sees me play a lot of video games, and she had never been exposed to one that was showing this kind of stuff. So that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Talking about those myths, like you can, you know, walk up to any of these murals that are in some of the levels and get a pretty deep telling of what these actual stories are. And I found those pretty fascinating too, where, you know, you could like go through and just learn about the backstory behind Durga or Vishnu, and, you know, hear some pretty epic stuff that I had no idea existed. So these were great too, to just find in the environment and then sit back and listen to for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, totally. Those murals are really cool also. Like, they were just like cool art in general.
Yeah.
And then they would have these kind of like animated elements of them and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And this game is really pretty. Like, it's not nearly as detailed, like, as, you know, if you're looking at those old God of War games, while they obviously are PS2 and PS3 graphics, but stylized. This game is really stylized, and it has, especially like some of the vistas that you see and the way you kind of weave through these temples or fortresses. Like, there's a lot of cool scenery that unfolds in front of you, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, especially like when you get to the city of Nagari, and you just kind of have that pan as she's going down in the elevator down to the water, and you just get the vista of the whole the whole city and how it's just really well rendered and well created in this game. So I thought there were some great moments of just like seeing some incredible views. Like so a few others, like in the Land of the Mystics, was just really cool to see, because you're walking along these huge cliffs and see the village down below, and it's just like covered in mist and there are trees popping out from it, but like it is pretty awesome to see.
That that moment when you see that big snake and you're like coming through those kind of templed areas, that one was really cool as well. Yeah, like and again, because of the perspective that you talked about earlier, how it's pulled out a little bit, it kind of feels like these weird little like dioramas or something that you're going through.
Yeah.
Like it's not necessarily super realistic, but it does have this cool, I mean, there it's beautifully rendered, like you said. And so there's it, but as you kind of progress through these areas, you get these cool camera angles that feel like you're looking down on, like, I don't know, like just a really detailed like architecture, you know, miniature or something like that. It's cool.
Yeah. And that's what the developers were going for. I was reading the Wikipedia about this, and it's like, oh no, they were actually trying to use some of the miniatures and like traditional dioramas to model the areas off of this. So
cool.
It really worked well. And just kind of it again made me feel like I was playing God of War all over again, just in a different environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we kind of have wanted to see that, right? I mean, it obviously God of War 2018 completely changed the perspective.
Yeah.
But it did make the jump from Greek to Norse mythology. And so we've always kind of speculated, like, or, you know, as fans of games, like, I know that there's always been conversations on Twitter or just amongst friends where you're like, oh yeah, like it'd be sick to see them do ancient Egypt or, you know, like I've always thought that there should be more Hindu ones because they're so fantastical, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
the tales and stuff are one really brutal in a lot of cases, like the whole Mahabharata and especially the Bhagavad Gita, which are like our Hindu like religious texts. Like the Bhagavad Gita centers around essentially this big war, and so like a lot of it is just like really heavy, like violence. It's pretty, you know. So I'm like, oh, this actually works really well for video games.
It's right in with God of War. All right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and just like the Norse and the Greek pantheons, the gods were really pretty messed up to each other a lot of times. So you know, even like Ganesh, which everyone knows, right? Like the reason he has an elephant head is because his dad. His dad, his uncle, cut his head off, and his mom like just grabbed the most nearest animal to him and put their head on his body. So you know, there's some stuff like that. You
that
know?
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So anywho, it definitely lends itself to it. And this game, you know, isn't super gory or anything like that. But I could see, you know, I could see a version of it that maybe was. But
yeah. On top of all of that, you know, they just have like great, they have very traditional music and environmental effects, like going into the sound to really just kind of put you there in the environment as well. And I thought those were great. I just had to mention those.
Yeah, the soundtrack is really good. And it's like not too over the top, but there's a lot of like really cool, you know, it's a mix of kind of old like shloka-y sounding things and kind of Indian classical music. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously like, you know, sitar and veena and all that kind of stuff. But then there's some other, like the battle music gets a little more intense, and there's really good rhythms in a lot of Indian music. So like the kind of drums when they ramp up and stuff, it gets cool for sure. And this takes place in, you know, their mystical kind of, you know, mythological areas, but mm-hmm. they are kind of based off of Rajasthani medieval period stuff. So it's cool because, you know, I think we all kind of have like a pretty stereotypical, but maybe like an understanding of like what ancient Indian architecture looks like. But this is like the first time, I don't know, at least as a Westerner, that you get to like be immersed in a really well realized world that shows that more than just like the Taj Mahal, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but like,
yeah,
but you're like seeing like the full kind of landscape and how it mixes with the architecture and all that stuff. So it's gorgeous.
See here, it is the story of Garuda. There were two sisters, Kadru and Vinita, the most dear of wives. of Maharshi Kashyap. He granted each a boon to show his affection. Kadru asked to become the mother of 1,000 sons. Vinita asked for just one son, but that he must be more powerful than the 1,000 sons of Kadru. Blessed by the Maharshi, Kadru gave birth to 1,000 eggs. Vinita gave birth to only 2 eggs. With time, Kadru's eggs began to hatch. Inside each one was a coiling snake.
We briefly talked about the combat, but this game, just like the old God of War games, it has some really cool bosses to fight. And there are only 3 in the game, but each one of them feels really unique and really cool. So they are in themselves quite a spectacle. There's one for each chapter in the game. So there's the demon chieftain, then there's Regatta.
Rangda,
powerful demon queen, and then Mahabalasura, and mm-hmm. he's like the demon general that is the big bad guy who has actually kidnapped the brother Golu. Each one of those bosses felt really cool to fight, and at the same time, they just completely exposed the weaknesses in the combat system, where I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing here. And I have to like figure this out. And I don't feel like Raji is like fighting her best right now. And like each one of those different fights had a different issue that I had to work my way around. So the demon chieftain, who is this big guy that swings a pair of like maces that are on fire at the end.
They're like almost morning stars, but it's like they don't really have a hilt. They're just kind of on the end of a chain.
Yeah. But they're on fire. It's like they're really cool. I spend about probably 15 minutes fighting him and just not even getting down probably a third or a quarter of his health. And after a while I was like, you know what? What am I doing wrong? And then I remembered, oh wait, I've got the ranged weapon. What if I try that? Mm-hmm. Takes care of him, no problem. And it's just that you got to keep your distance and just hammer away at whatever. They're like arrows that she shoots at him, but like it was like, you know, forget about trying to get up close to him. Just try and shoot at him, and you just whittle his health down little by little, and finally he goes down. That was like one of those moments where it's like, oh, the hand-to-hand combat here really does not work well with big people.
Yeah, totally. There's a bit of a size and scale issue there. And it's just hard because he's got these big swinging things. So like, when you're up close to him, there's just like almost no way to like not get hit by that. Cause there is like dodging, and it's you are pretty mobile in general, but like there's just some kind of like, this is where some of the clunky stuff comes through, where it's like, I don't really feel like I have precise enough control to kind of, when it gets a little not bullet helly, but like, you know, he's swinging the big things around and stuff, and I'm just like, I don't know that I fully have the capability there to like even like successfully do it on purpose, you know. I don't know, it's just, it feels a little clunky. But yes, I also just used the bow and spammed it and just kind of like got away from his attacks and stuff. Yeah, for sure. And one thing, I real quick while we're on it, I was just remembering that one thing that's kind of nice about this game is there's a really small level of UI. Like, there's not a lot of, you know, you don't get a big health bar in the corner or something like that. It's just kind of like these little kind of lotuses or these little like tick marks around someone's feet, kind of like that. And so it's, I think it's kind of nice. It lets you just focus on the scenery and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And it also just blends really well into the environment as well. So like it's not something that you might even notice after a while.
Totally. And there's these little, even like the way that you sometimes get like direction hints are like just by like little fireflies in like a section of the map and stuff like that. And sometimes if you're not really paying attention, you don't even really see those either. You know what I mean? So
yeah. So then that was the first act boss. And then the second one is Rangda, and she is sitting at the top of the city of Hirani Nagari. fighting her, what that was the one that felt the most like a God of War boss fight, because totally. You have like this giant that is, you know, trying to fight you and like slam her claws down on top of Raji, and you know, one finger is taller than Raji herself. So, you know, that one was like the most spectacle boss fight out of all of them, I think. However, that one was the fight that I realized, like, oh, the dodging mechanic here feels kind of strange because she has this pause after she dodges. So
yeah,
you don't really gain any speed as far as like getting out of the way. It's just that like, if you dodge and she pauses and it's the wrong time, she's not going to get out of the way of like this ring of fire that Rangda is like conjuring up in the
conjuring
floor.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I know. I know exactly what you're talking about. You can't really tell like where the hesitation is going to be. You know what I mean? And so sometimes you'll go to like attack her hand, which is like how you damage her in the beginning, like section. And yeah, you just don't really know that whether she's going back to like attacking or not. So yeah.
Yeah. But like, still, it's a really cool fight. The way she's rendered, it is very much like adhering well to the actual traditional monster. And it is a cool fight. It just like that. Yeah. It is the most God of War fight in this game. And it is a huge spectacle, really cool to see. And it feels really satisfying when you finally defeat her.
Totally. Yeah. And the scale of it is like, is different from everything else. Cause you're so small and it pulls back and you're in this kind of like temple grounds. So you kind of see off in the distance around you. And yeah. And she's a really cool design. You know, she's like supposed to be like this kind of old crone, but she's like a giant and she's got this big headdress thing on her. And so it's a really unique design for sure. So
yeah. Yeah. So then you defeat her and then you go through the land of the mystics. You kind of like have to not necessarily befriend, but kind of like make an alliance with this giant snake that is in that area. And then you catch up to Mahabalasura and he, in a cutscene, this is like that one cutscene that I felt like was, it could have been more impactful in 3D, but he strikes Raji down and then continues on with Golu out into some other dimension. And then Raji wakes up in a dream and feels guilty about not being there for her brother, and then kind of gets resurrected out of this dream by Durga and Vishnu. And they bring her to the deserts of Tar and then give her the last weapon in the game, which is the chakra that just kind of like floats around her. And then, you know, you can send it off in any direction as a projectile. I thought this weapon was, it felt like one of the coolest, but you pretty much just like after you get out of that dream, all you have to do is just go through a couple of fights. And then you're at that fight up against Mahabalasura. And this is the end of the game. I wasn't expecting it to wrap up this fast.
But,
you know, this was like, okay, well, this is it. And this particular fight, again, I had a problem with the dodging, but also just with like the timing of him like slamming his like staff down into the floor, which would then pop up underneath Raji. That one gave me a lot of trouble because it wasn't just that first strike. He would do two of them back to back. And that second one would always get me. So this particular fight, I spent a lot of time just like late at night trying to get through because it like, I was thinking like, you know what? I'm going to go to bed after I finish this. No problem. And I couldn't get through it.
Yeah. He was really tough. It took me quite a while too. I actually ended up looking up, there's not really a trick to it, but like I ended up looking up some videos on like someone beating him. Cause I'm like, all right, am I doing something timing wise wrong? Yeah. Do I need like to get somewhere else in the arena? And not really. It was just kind of like really, learning that second, the fact that he does it twice sometimes right there, which is kind of brutal. And then he's got that thing where like those weird hands like come out from the side and he swipes. I really like his design. I mean, again, like I looked at some concept art for this game, just because it was, you know, a really cool looking enemy design and stuff. And his concept is cool. He's got the kind of three face thing going on. And then he has these weird like demon things that like come out, like hands that come out of one side of him, and it's trippy looking for sure.
Yeah.
And then he does this thing when he in that boss fight where he duplicates himself a bunch, and you know, that kind of thing where you have to like, but at that point you have the chakra, so you can like send it out, and it kind of like takes away all of his mimics, you know. And,
yeah.
Yeah, it was cool.
The other child, her brother, he has spent much time with Mahabalasura. I cannot see his plan for the boy.
He is a twisted creature. He will use Golu to defeat Raji, to use her love against her. She must be careful.
Before you get to fight him, though, you happen upon a couple of murals and you learn what his history is. And he was like some general that was then given great knowledge and power. And then one of the gods didn't like this and didn't like what he was doing and imprisoned him. And now he's escaped his prison and wants to take revenge on the gods. But to do that, he has to open a particular gate to their realm and then invade their realm there and go fight them. And he needs Golu to open that gate.
Yeah.
So while you're fighting the general, and then he has a bunch of mimics, while you're fighting his mimics, he's distracting Raji and uses Golu to then open the gate. And he goes through the gate, and that's the end of the game.
I know. And like, it's really abrupt.
I was like really shocked at it. I was like, whoa, wait a second. We're not going to have any sort of resolution for this. And, you know, then it's just you're left with Golu getting reunited with Raji, and that's it. And I guess you don't concern yourself with the gods anymore. You know, let them go fight the general. Who cares? Raji got her brother back. That's all you need.
Yeah, it's definitely really abrupt because it literally happens like, for me, at least, I thought there was going to be like maybe like a second phase of the boss. You know what I mean? Like oh, we'll catch up to him or something. You know what I mean? Because there's that weird little cutscene, and then like the game ends with one of the only like, you know, actually rendered cutscenes where she's like kind of crawling through the desert and you see Golu, which was cool. But I was just like, again, I was like, wait, this must just be like, this is going to happen and then we're going to fight him again. Right. But it was just over, which was, you know, this could be, that could be a budget constraint thing. They might have wanted to do more, but also like the story of this is that Raji is just like a street performer and she's like an acrobat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why you're supposed to believe that, you know, with the assistance of the gods that she's able to do these kind of amazing feats and acrobatics and combat and stuff. Right. But ultimately, like the story is really just her trying to find her brother. And so she finds her brother. And like you said, maybe that's the gods needed her for a certain amount of time. And that's that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, you know, like, I don't think there's really an allegory for her character in this myth. Like, I think she's kind of written in just so that we have like a player agency to be a part of this myth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd actually have to, there could be, but I'm not certain about it, but it does seem like maybe she was just kind of like, well, hey, we just want you to be able to play through this myth.
Yeah.
Without having to be like, what, like, how would you be Vishnu? Cause then you'd just be all powerful and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. So it seems, like cool that she's just kind of a surrogate, but it's really abrupt at the end and you're like, whoa, it totally like takes you back.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Because the villain kind of wins. He just straight up wins in this story at least and gets through the gate. But you know, I was trying to explain this to my wife afterward and she asked like, well, wait, why did Golu open the gate? And I don't really have a good answer for her. Like, was he under hypnosis and like did Mahabalasura like force him to open the gate, or did he realize that maybe Raji would not be able to defeat the general and so he just opened the gate and that got him to stop fighting? You know, what was it that,
they don't really give you any sort of good explanation from that. And even that last shadow puppet cutscene that kind of tells you about the like the general's ruse and yeah. just like having his mimics fight Raji while he goes and enacts his plan. Like that should be a really big moment where you're like, whoa, like that's a gut punch. And also like, you know, but it doesn't really go into very much detail right there. It just kind of says like, oh, it was a ruse, and he goes and opens the gate, and while he's like chanting this shloka that's supposed to like open the gate, Golu starts like chanting it along with him. And anyways, it's kind of weird. It's pretty abrupt, and it definitely like maybe brought down my overall experience of the game just because it's, you know, but it does feel like maybe it was just a little bit like hastily finished at the end. You know, this is a really small studio. I think there's like overall like 7 or 10 employees there, plus then the voice actors and things like that. But
yeah,
so you know, it's pretty impressive for such a small team, but it definitely is like, oh, okay, all right, maybe the end needs a little more baking. But you know,
yeah,
I should ask Aishu about that and see if she knows anything about the actual myth, if like it continues, because maybe they were just like, we're gonna do a second one or something like that.
Yeah,
but you know,
yeah,
I don't know,
that'd be interesting, because then in that second one, like you see what's beyond that gate, and you have Raji like go through the realm of the gods and try and save them.
Which, you know, if that's what they're setting up, and maybe hoping that with the first one, that they can, you know, do that with a little bit more budget, or get it picked up by, you know, because this is actually, I did find out this got some support from ID at Xbox.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So maybe, you know, maybe there's another publisher. I mean, I know it's a tough games landscape out there right now, and I know it's hard to get funding for games, but it seems like the Indian market for game dev is growing a lot, and there's an incentive there to make more games. So
yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Her enemy had copied himself. Mahabalasura was on every side. Raji could not see the truth. That this was just a diversion. Mahabalasura had escaped Raji and stood at the gates, reciting the mantra. But why? Another voice took up the chant. Golu. It was too late. Although Raji still fought, the gates to the Dev Heavens now stood open. Mahabalasura's design had come to pass, and Golu had been the key. Now, what horror would be unleashed on the world?
One thing that I noticed, and one reason that I wanted to play this game to begin with, so I'm glad you brought it up, was that this game does some representation for a particular culture that I have not seen before, and I really wanted to dive into it. So I really appreciate how this showcases traditional Hindu myths. And how I can learn from that. So I really appreciated that.
Yeah, so, we're starting to see more of it, which is cool. It's cool that we're starting to see more Hindu, or just more Indian in general stuff, like a leak into the Western pop culture for sure.
Cause like there was like a Venba that came out last year, and I heard that was great.
Venba is great. Yeah. My wife and I literally like, by the end of that game, we were like in tears on our couch, like which doesn't happen very often, especially for Aishu. She likes games, and she likes the medium of games. She's not good at certain like too technical twin stick stuff, like first person twin stick things where you're having to control your camera and your movements at the same time can be a little, you know, she grew up playing Super Nintendo stuff more, and like, you know, point and click adventure games and things like that. So when it gets a little too, you know, mechanic heavy, she can be a little overwhelmed. But like Venba was perfect because it's literally just these little kind of mini games, and they're just cooking elements throughout the story and stuff. But the story itself, as she was a person who, you know, moved from her country to a new place, like it resonated a lot. So that definitely, if anyone else is interested in more of this kind of stuff, Venmo is a must check out for sure.
Yeah.
And it's short. It's like you can play it in a night.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And then I'm going to ask you about, you know, what are some other games that showcase cultures in this way really well. But, you know, one other thing I think we should mention is that here's some behind the scenes stuff. But for every episode, I also put together a thumbnail for the episode art. And while I was looking for just like the actual logo of the game, I found an article about kind of the history inside of Raji. And so I did want to mention this, that like this article on vice.com talks about how Raji kind of falls into this trap that kind of the right wing political landscape is heading in India at least at the time this was getting made. And this article highlights, and it's on vice.com. If you want to read it for yourself, just search vice.com and how Raji falls into the Indian far right trap. But in summary, it just points out that this is a traditional Hindu myth that is being told in game form, and they are leaving out Muslim people from the actual depiction of Indian history here. And that's the, you know, that's like a dangerous thing to allow to happen. So it's just something to think about when you're playing through this game. You might notice like, oh, there really isn't any mention of Muslims here in this myth where there were in history. Yeah. So, you know, go ahead, go read the article. I'm not going to go too deep into it, but they just point out that this is a problematic thing, that, you know, there are people trying to erase the history of Muslim people in India. And, you know, we do want to fight against that. And I do not like the idea of doing that.
Yeah. My wife and I read, this is a really interesting article in general, just because it's, you know, with this type of nuance, it's just so not something that someone on the outside looking in is going to realize. And that's kind of what the article is pointing out, is that like, this is, you know, certainly like a game that had some more eyes on it in by the greater gaming community, which means an international community, right? And if you're representing certain things, and it's maybe, like you said, a good but an interesting introduction to these like themes and myths, like if you don't include some of that culture, like then it's just going to make it seem to people who don't have any other like basis to know that maybe that's just the way it was, you know? So, yeah. You know, the article says like at best it's lazy, and at worst it's kind of bigoted in the way where it's kind of, you know? And so it's really interesting. And Aishu, my wife, definitely agreed with some of what the article said, but then in other ways, she was like, well, you know, what is this game's point really? And like, if this game were to really try and like break down the political elements of like what's happening now, and like the kind of, you know, brushing under the rug of some of this Muslim history and stuff, like that's not really what this game's job is to do. So it's more just like showing some accurate representation of maybe the Muslim cultures as they were in ancient times. You know what I mean? Like you see some like little Persian style markets and stuff as you kind of meander your way through these things. And so just, you know, there's just not like a single Muslim character in this game, which like, again, maybe there doesn't need to be, but it's just like kind of leaving out some of that imagery, even though a lot of this architecture and stuff is like based from the Mughal Empire, which was a Muslim based society. So, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Definitely give the article a read if you want to. It's by Adesh Toplial. And yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of me and her talked about it, and it was a good conversation, but she kind of akin it to, you know, if this was a game about like the beginning of the United States, right? And like if you were to kind of go through that whole thing without showing any Native Americans or something like that.
Or like, I mean? Not showing, like what I immediately thought of was like, you know, how people are trying to erase the history of slavery in the United States. And it's like, okay, I understand that like people feel bad about how that actually happened, but we cannot just ignore that. So, you know, I think it's important. And after reading this, I started to realize like, I didn't realize that there weren't any Muslim characters in the game until I read this article. So, you know, that is kind of skirting that dangerous line of where, like, you know, if I'm someone that doesn't know anything about Hindu culture and myth and history, this can turn dangerous if I don't actually go do my research beyond the game. If I just rely on the game itself.
And so many people won't, because it's because they don't really feel like it's their job to do that, you know, unless they're an enthusiast like us where we're trying to dive deeper into something, you know, it's like, it's not going to happen. Probably, so,
But that I didn't want to go too political into this discussion, but I did think that was worth mentioning. So,
Totally.
You know, it did make me think twice about actually, like, how do I recommend this? And I do want to recommend this game, but, you know, with some caveats. So, that leads me to ask you, I tend to ask anybody on the show, would you recommend Raji on a scale of 1 to 3, you know, not worth your time, try it if it's on sale, or if you have it in a subscription, or shut up and take my money, it's that good. How would you...
I'm going to go with the two in this situation, and those are good breakdowns. It was almost exactly that. I mean, I think I was drawn to it, because, you know, I wanted Aishu and I to play through it together and to get her opinion on it and see, like, the kind of, you know, it's rare to see this mythology depicted in a gaming form, or really in any form other than, like, the really old school ones, right? But or, like, you know, maybe Bollywood films and things like that. So I was certainly drawn to it, and I probably almost certainly would have picked it up regardless. But I definitely did get it through a subscription service, and so I was like, well, there's not really a lot of barrier to entry. I know it's not free, quote unquote, but certainly you feel like, oh, there's no real penalty for me, like, trying this out. And so therefore, because of it, it was an easy call. So I'd say it too. And I definitely think it's worth your time. And even if you don't, I mean, it's fairly short, but even if you run into some of the troubles that we did with, you know, maybe you end up giving up on one of the bosses or something like that, I still think that there's some really cool moments in the game, and it's definitely worth looking at.
Oh yeah. 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 So on this book club style podcast, I like to have an actual Books and More recommendations for the show. Are there other games with a specific cultural representation that you can think of that are worth playing?
Well, I mean, the easy ones, and I think we're blessed with an abundance of them right now, or maybe oversaturated, is obviously, like, Japanese culture. And if you've been... I don't know, for whatever reason, you know, there's just a fascination, I'd say, in a lot of Western peoples, including myself, with the Japanese culture, just because it's, like, been such a unique one throughout history, whether it was samurai or, like, modern Yakuza or just all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, one of my favorite games from 2020 was Ghost of Tsushima, which I highly recommend to people. It kind of did the, like, Assassin's Creed Japan before Assassin's Creed did, which I know that's coming out later this year.
On its way,
But I love that game, and, like, I think of that game as kind of like a Batman game, because, like, you're essentially, like, having to battle, like, your creed and your code, and, like, whether you do what's necessary to protect your people at sacrificing your morals, like, it's a good, like, kind of similar story to a Bruce Wayne in some ways. So I love that game. And then I played Wolong Fallen Dynasty last year, and that's based in the Journey to the West myth from China. And that was a good game. I'd say that's like a 2 on this scale as far as you're recommending one, because I think it there are better Souls likes or better, like, you know, overall maybe games, but it is the Journey to the West story is, like, a really old classical tale, and it's a cool one to to latch onto. And I don't know if this game will be good, but Black Myth Wukong, which is supposed to come out later this year, I think.
Yeah.
We'll see if it actually does. But if it does, that one looks like it's gonna, that's also following that story. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. There were a couple others that I was thinking about while I was like kind of trying to create this list, and Guacamelee 1 and 2. It definitely show off like Mexican culture and kind of like the Aztec art style. It is just really cool and very unique to see. Just this week, I've been playing Tales of Kinzara Zao, and that showing off African culture and just like putting African culture in the game is great to see. So I think both of those are really good games. So I highly recommend checking them out anyway, just because they're fun, but they're great at representing other cultures. You know, I'm sure almost anybody listening to this is probably at least knows what Hellblade is, but Hellblade does some, does some great stuff for representing Norse culture. And like it did it before God of War, you know, went into the Norse mythology, but they did that. And they also did some great representation for mental illness and people dealing with schizophrenia. So, you know, if you want to just kind of see what a good representation of that is, check out the first Hellblade game.
I like that version of the Norse depiction as well, because it while it is still fantastical and gets out there, especially with the inclusion of some of the psychosis that Senua goes through, it's a more grounded kind of depiction than the God of War games, because the God of War games go full mythology, superhero fights, you know, like big crazy giants and stuff, which of course is the mythology, but Senua weaves it into like the actual life of a, you know, a human being who's going through these things. And while there's some really intense and amazing imagery in that first game, there are also some pretty you know, some just like human moments. And then in the second one, even more so, because the second one is about, you know, their kind of interaction with Vikings and, you know, the kind of Northmen and that sort of thing. So if you haven't started playing the second one, I know there's a lot of controversy, but not the controversy. It's a little divisive, I think, as far as critics and stuff goes, but it is an absolute must see just for graphical fidelity, facial capture, and even an audio design. It's just like just unrivaled for.
Oh yeah. So. Well, like the first one in 2016, I was just mystified by how good it looked.
Totally. Absolutely. They're titans at graphics for sure. And then this new one's in Unreal Engine 5, which definitely shows you that like as we move into UE5 is when we're really going to start feeling next gen as far as that kind of stuff. I wanted to shout out one more one that I just thought of while we were talking about this. It doesn't necessarily get too heavy into like a specific culture, but it does depict a time period that I think we don't get to take in very much, and that is A Plague Tale: Innocence. And it's about the, I mean, it's obviously a over dramatized version of it, but the Black Death and you know, medieval France and kind of like the feeling of like not knowing what this plague is, and it kind of it's like it's not post-apocalyptic, but it feels like it's the apocalypse to these people, you know.
Yeah,
and so that's really absolutely, that's a really interesting setting.
I thought that story again about a sister and her brother, you know, her
there
trying
you go.
To protect her younger brother. It is a great story. So I loved that one. I played it a couple of years ago and it was great. So other things you're reading, watching, or playing that you'd like to recommend?
I'm playing through a game called Inscription right now, which is a card game kind of, but it's also like an escape room game. You kind of wake up in this cabin, and there's this like ominous dark set of eyes like in the corner across from you, and they kind of just prompt you to start playing playing this card game. And it's kind of a roguelite. You sort of, you know, you can, if you lose the card game, this isn't really a spoiler, but he essentially kills you or something. You have to start all over again, and it's cool. Your cards start to change and morph over time, and there's some like persistent items and stuff that you get throughout your journey. So it's like an escape room is the best way I can describe it.
Or sometimes your cards start to talk back to you and you start to wonder, you know, what is really going on here.
Yeah, totally. And then you know, there's things you can find within the room itself, and maybe some things you can hide from the person you're playing against. And it's pretty morbid too. There's like, you know, there's some items that you get that are like kind of perks in the game, but like one of them will be like you pull your tooth out and like it helps you, like, you know, be an extra token for you. Anyways, just weird stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's really dark, but it's like, I'm playing it. One of the reasons I'm kind of excited about it, I'm playing it on through Xbox Remote Play. So I'm playing it from my Xbox, but I'm playing it on my iPad in my bed at night. And like, just using touch controls because it's like a, you know, it's not a game you need to be reflex heavy or anything like that.
So, yeah.
But it's a really nice experience on iPad. I'm just like hanging out and, you know, playing a little card game, and yeah, it's cool.
That's nice to hear. Yeah. Yeah. So once you finish Inscription, you should go listen to the PS Plus Game Club episode about Inscription that featured Jordan Vickers. And we talk about that for a couple hours.
Great.
Because what you're describing is just a layer of what is really going on in that game. And it is fascinating. So can't wait for you to finish that game.
Yeah, I'm pretty close. Like, I think I've gotten to the point where I now just need to beat the card game. You know what I mean? Maybe there's more post that. But so far I love the twists and turns that it's taking, and I'll definitely go listen to that episode, because this is definitely a game I want to like think more about. And then the other, as far as games and not games, I just finished a show last night that I absolutely adored. It's called Tokyo Vice. It's on Max, and I feel like this show really hasn't gotten a lot of publicity. It's about this guy named Jake Adelstein, who was the first like Western reporter to work for this paper in Japan called the Meisho, which is like a pretty popular paper. And he was like one of the first to really truly report on the Yakuza, and he gets like really involved with the Yakuza, and, you know, starts to kind of skirt the line of like being like journalistically ethical versus being involved in this crime syndicate and stuff, and kind of befriend some of them. And, you know, it's just a really good drama. And it takes place in like the late 90s in Japan, which is just a really cool period to like observe Japan, like the beginning of cell phones, like Backstreet Boys are playing like places. It's like, it's pretty silly. So there's just like some cool, like, you know, it's all Motorola's and Nokia phones and things like that. And but it's still Japan, so it still feels a little futuristic, and everyone still smokes, and, you know, it's just got this whole, like, really good vibe to it.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it.
Okay, cool. I just remembered there is one other game that's on PS Plus that you could check out that has some Indian culture in it. It's called Mystic Pillars. I haven't tried it, but I from what I've read about it, it has that. It's a kind of a puzzle game that you just like solve puzzles, but it has that spin to it or that aesthetic of like Indian culture. So.
Nice.
I'll have to go check that one out too. I just haven't gotten around to it. But as for getting around to stuff, next month we are going to be getting around to our last recommendation. Bad segue I just tried to land. That recommendation is Little Hope. It's a narrative horror movie turned into an adventure game from Supermassive, the makers of Until Dawn and Men of Medan. Have you played Until Dawn, Man of Medan, Little Hope, any of those?
I have played Until Dawn. I absolutely loved that game.
Yeah.
We played it in a style where I had, you know, like four or five friends come over, and we each would take the sticks when a different character was playing.
Oh, nice. I love that.
It was really fun. And then they kind of worked that into the Dark Pictures series, I know, where you can actually, like, even if you're playing online with people, you can like each control a character. I haven't played any of the Dark Picture stuff. I just haven't gotten around to it, but I did play The Quarry, which is another one of their games. I didn't like it quite as much as Until Dawn, but I still thought the vibe was there. So
yeah, it seems like Until Dawn is still the best one to beat right now. So, you know, it's fantastic. I can't wait for like whatever that remaster or remake that is on the way for that particular one. But Little Hope looks like kind of one of those interesting shorter ones that I was hoping to get from the studio too. Like I really want these to be like 2 hours so you can get friends together
just a movie.
And just sit down and watch this. But yeah, I'm really excited to play Little Hope next month. And if you're excited too, you can be part of the show by writing into psplusgameclub@gmail.com to share your thoughts about Little Hope or recommend any other games for future episodes. You can also find me on Discord at the Portland Kevin if that's the way you'd like to contact the show and comment about Little Hope. Finally, Gage, I want to ask you, if you want followers anywhere, where can people find you?
You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Luke Shot First. I'm also at Luke Shot First. If you're ever in like a Kind of Funny chat or an IGN chat or something like that, you'll see me on there. I know me and Portland Kevin over here are holding it down for the YouTube chat. So let's go. but follow me on Twitter at Luke Shot First. I'd rather you go follow Neon Pocket Dimension. So on Twitter, that is NPD Squad. We only have one Twitter page, so you'll get news about Pocket Dimension and then also all our games content as well. So that's a good place to check it out.
Oh, sweet. Okay, good to know. Gage, thank you again for talking about Raji. Thanks for picking the game and having some insight into Hindu culture. So it was really good to hear your analysis of this.
Yeah, I'm glad it was a unique game to check out. So I'm glad we got to talk about it a little bit more and more games to come in the future. And certainly we'll have to figure out how and which and what kind of topics we want to get you on Neon Pocket Dimension for.
I've already got a few.
Excellent. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a good evening. Anyone listening, I hope you have a good day, evening, whatever, and have fun playing around.
Oh, yeah.